confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate or spur on one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Our Father, we are, by your grace and mercy, the body, the bride, the temple of Christ. These walls will one day burn and rot. But Father, we, the soul that you build one upon the other, and this together, we are at the eternal dwelling place of God. And I pray that today you would help us understand what it means to consider how we may stimulate, spur on one another. How is it that as we are the body, of the body of the Lord, how is it that we should interact with each other? Give us more than just head knowledge. Give us hearts and wills to put out of the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Well, we are in this series, and even really a mini series, the overall series on the church. And the mini series is what kind of church should one look for if I'm looking for a church body. And in all ways, I hope at some point you would say, I wish you stopped saying this. Because then I'm just about approaching the number of times I should say that we're not talking about what kind of church in terms of structure or architecture. The church, even the song we sang about the wall, all that was figurative of the people. And so, what kind of church body, what sort of church people should I be looking to associate with and covenant with when I'm looking for a church coming? Now, it's my hope that all of you stay wherever you are forever, so the Lord Jesus comes and calls you home. But it may be that some of you are ready to grow up, right? You're ready to school, and you're looking for a church body, or you are in the middle of looking for what God calls your home, what church body you have looked for. So I want to give some instructions on that. But in fact, we sort of focus on the vertical nature of what you're looking for. So we talked about finding people who have just never gotten over God and His mercy and His majesty and His mind. And what we talked about that person just a few weeks ago, listening there, your sermon, those are people who never get over the majesty, might, mercy, and magnitude of God and always make much of Him. And secondly, we have that we talk about those are people who never get tired drinking, eating, hearing, and teaching, whatever the Bible education. So find a group of people where it's God that motivates them, encourages them, excites them, and delights them, and very closely behind it, the Bible that God has given us, the written revelation of Himself, His way, that we love to hear what the Bible has to say. And then lastly, he said, look for people in that vertical nature, look for people who do not act as their own strength. Look for people who show they depend on God by attending prayer. Find a group of people where prayer is not just something that happens, you know, at the beginning of the service, at the end, it's over. I read some statistics of this past week, something about, I think I had this right, 4 out of 5 churches spend more time reading, maybe praying. Reading is important. In fact, that's the main scripture we read today. We're thinking more important. I think 2 out of 2 churches spend more time in prayer. And in our analysis, I believe. The pastor body that over the nature of the course of the life together, you see the prayer series. And today, what I want to do is I want to focus a little bit now on some of the horizontal aspects of the kind of church body that you should be looking at. Let's look at Hebrews 10 for this moment. Look here at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Okay, so as the writer of Hebrews is writing to this congregation, he's not light on doctrine. He's not light on the confession of hope that we have, that we love ourselves and our sin. shying away from doctrines and what we believe. But too many times, some of us forget that there's this 24-25. And so, just as important is finding a church that holds the right confession and has a hopeful confession, not himself, but his person, Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let us hold back that. And let us consider it. In other words, there is a discovery to behold, to look upon, to perceive, to give some thought to. Let us consider how we stimulate one another to follow the truth. So, in this passage, we see that sort of pay attention to the verbalness of what's going on when we gather together. You know, God gets first place, God gets full credit, God gets praise and glory, but then there is this horizontal nature of what we're going to do with each other. Well, what are we supposed to do with each other when we gather? Have you ever thought about that? What are we supposed to do with each other when we gather? We live in an age where it is increasingly easier to live in isolation. You go to work, and you go to some little study hall with walls around you. You're ready to go, and you don't get out of that thing, and you don't see anybody. Or you might talk to your voice on the phone, because you don't know what's happening with your bathroom. Or you live in an age where you come home from work, and rather than spending time on the front porch, where you see the image of the body, you go to the back porch, where the drill is, and the chase lounge, and the flashy things, and it's just you, and you're not interacting with it. Where you see some study on the change in architecture of individual family homes. In the last 6 years, and the location of the porch is one of the major changes in American culture. Because people used to be on the front porch, talk to their neighbors across the way, waving that they would buy a congregation on the front porch, so they find out you all are welcome to come and talk to you. When you move to the backyard there, it's a new line to my side of the porch. So if you want to find a mutual isolation, and then there's, the TV, where you watch our own movies. Some of us have TVs for ourselves in different rooms. And so that you have the children's TV, or you have dad's TV, and mom's TV, and so you are in the same house, but we're not really together. Because we're sort of focusing on the screen. And then you have the internet. And so you come home, and instead of being out in the yard with the kids or the travel or anybody who has come to see me, it's just one. Well, in church, sometimes we can sort of see that because we just sort of find our isolated spot and where we are. And we come to the Lord, we take a couple of ways, and then we find our isolated seat. And we just sort of explore and then leave. The church must be, and I'm so thankful for the testimony of Travis Jesus and the family that will experience over the course of the past 2 weeks. The church must be a loving community that shares with one another. So often we see the number of times we've gone to church, we've walked into the building, sit down, listen, and get back to the car and go about our business. God help us to grant our perspective of the loving church. So back to the listening for us. Let us consider. Let us discover. Let us perceive how then we are to resort to perfectionism. And then all I've been on for this morning is to look aside. I mentioned to somebody this week that somebody had 18 points, and they about passed out. I knew that I was going to be doing this listening thing. Obviously, there's no way that I'm going to preach every single one of you this morning. But what I do want to do is this. There's this whole category of verses in the New Testament that tell us what to do. And so it might be good just to find out that the Bible actually teaches us what should church life look like. So the point that I want us to make this morning is this, that as we're looking for a church, what to look for when you're looking for a church, and also the development of what kind of church you want to be at here at CCBC. And the point I want to make this morning is this, look for people who live well with one another. Look for people who live well with one another. So to help with that, what I've done is I've gathered from one another passages of Scripture. And I'm not listening in any theological word, and I'm going to order it for us. And my hope is to read through these things, and some of them come in, and then have some moments of reflection on you. Now, as you're looking at this list, I want to take away any notion that this list is for some of us and not for every one of us. Because that's sometimes what happens when we do a study of spiritual gifts. You know, because we're told that people are given certain spiritual gifts, not everybody has the same spiritual gifts, and there's a whole body you know, build up and identify. Well, we just don't have to worry about that list. Because these passages are written letters to the church as a whole, to be read out to the whole body. And so when we read any of these, this is not pick and choose which one you're going to do. The teaching of the scripture that we should all be involved with all of you, not with a few others, but with every other. So let's just begin to look at some of the people in this list. On one, you're going to accept one another. See, we're supposed to be open to each other and willing to talk to each other. To be accepting of one another. To admonish one another. But the Bible does say that we have a responsibility one to another to instruct each other. In this particular word, in the Greek, speaks of pointing out a sin in another's mind. And before you go, that's what I was doing on the ground, pointing out sin in another's mind. If there's another one that says love, okay? So remember everything together. The love process is just going to be on and so apply that one. And then we bear the burdens of one another, according to Galatians 6:2. This is the idea, there's a difference between bear the burdens of one another and bear with one another. There are actually two different Greek words. The bearing of the burdens is the idea of coming alongside somebody else, you know, sort of helping you sort of keep them, you know, snagging and come up underneath their arm and bear their thoughts. And the burdens of the weight of whatever is going on in their life. Maybe something that they're anxious about, or something that they're down about, maybe think it would fool everybody else. We're poor, sinning slob before God. And He has mercy, which He richly bestows upon us. Why would I confess my sins to somebody else in the Bible? Much less, like there was a couple of classes where some confessors didn't talk to me before. Why would I ever do that? Well, one, it's the death of flesh. It's the death of pride. Two, it's the amount of flesh on my head. One of those is that the flesh, pride, and two is obedience to Scripture. Three, you're going to find somebody in that group who has a hard voice to say, you know what? You're not walking on it. And not being healed. Not being healed. Not being healed. And then you're going to find a stronger brother or sister in Christ who loves you to say, not in the sense of any more details about how I can be adopted, but how can I help you? How can I come and bear this burden with you? How can I help strengthen you as the Holy Spirit leads that in my life? Confessing my sins one to another. And you know this. And the word of the Spirit is loaded with the Spirit of spontaneous verse about God and His activity in person in your life. discovering that we're trying to see how we're able to live and live with each other, live well as we live with each other. How do we stimulate one another? Love and ease. How do we encourage one another? How do we live? Well, let's put this one question. Who around you might be that is living well within the body of Jesus? Living well around the case mark, because I'm wanting to tie that back to that positive side of it. And you just sort of take a moment now and look at each other. That was cute. So you take a moment and look at each other and not a team. Take a moment. And you can reflect on this list. Very well, they have been so many times in time to talk. Okay, so we're going to consider how to stimulate and how to encourage. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Get us to do. Let's consider. Who do I encourage and why? Who is it today that we're hearing these verses, we're exposed to this category of one another? Who is it that lives well within the body of GCBC? And how is it and when are you going to let them know? Because you know what? The very thing that's basic is wrong. Maybe the very thing you see is strength. And God has designed you to see that in their lives so that you may go to them and say, can I tell you why I'm thankful for the work today? Or why I'm here working today? Because I see this in your life. And immediately you might see the expression of surprise. Are you really everything that is struggling? Which is often the case in our lives. One of our strengths that we have in the work, for the things of spiritual gifts or spiritual tendencies that we have, that we just really continue to work hard at, and we never really seem to have ever arrived, so God gives us the ability and the gift to go keep on wavering in that area. And every once in a while, we'll bring somebody else to our life to keep wavering and do the know he's got our life yet, because he's just in trouble, but he brings something else to our life, and you know what? I see it. I see this in you. Somebody here did. Maybe that word is first or this is key. Maybe there's a person who followed up. You know what? Just say, I think you're good at this and I'm leaving. Stand up, stand up. What about, say, this Sunday, Bible more than dinner? And then the court of the dinner, can I play Bible and you hear it say, I just want to say I appreciate you because I've seen you did it or do this and this in the line of the paper and you put your eyes up there consistently. Or maybe you want to talk to us another. An old-fashioned, handwritten, unbelievable note. Something that's sort of immediately known in the first minister to that they made much of God and name of Christ mentioned. And those kind of things probably was noticed pretty quickly. The body of the general commandment, that might take a 2 or 3, but this one, this idea of maybe a little together, something might be able to be seen, certainly that overall is a question of time for. So those of you who are searching for certain comments, take your time. Take your time in God. Try to check. the sermon on page 2 weeks ago, what the church is clarifying, our perfect church. So I'm not saying to do all of them equally perfectly, but overall, are we as a whole living in Christ? Now, for this question, I did not put on your identity. Okay, so in other areas, you do see CCC living well. There's plenty of value in that. And if there's somebody in the life of the church where you're sort of responsible for that, maybe you're a parent of a child, and that child receiving godly instruction from a person who's a loving servant, like the church, don't think you're back to the number one. That person that you have to encourage them. That's the area that we love the church. And so give praise to the Lord and make you go back and encourage those who are involved in that. So the GCC is a whole living well. Okay, how high can you make your job with that? That'll be the question I just put in there. And then number two, also in my input, what are the steps that I can take? And I'm going to have to use that. Otherwise, I won't know what steps you can take. So what are the steps that I can take to help me to help the body? That might include one of the elders, the deacons. But I want to get beyond that to say, if you're going to come talk to us about the education you can use and strengthen in, we're going to look right back at you and say, now, how would you like to be involved? Okay? So that's what I have here at top of the time. In my case, it's all good and all the body is easy. So in those areas where we're living well, praise the Lord, where we're not in the body, begin to pray, Lord, how can I help alongside? How can I build? How can I get some time? The Lord may already have targeted you, some of the key areas that we as a church could be discussing. Part number three. Now we're really starting to come down the funnel here. In what positive, in what positive areas? So I'm looking at the field up here, looking again on the left hand page here, positive. So what positive areas are living well and letting body be too easy? What highlights do you get to go? Okay, because none of us are perfect, none of us are picking it out apart individually. Just don't hit it out apart perfectly on every kind of positive side. So individually, spiritually, well, God created the living well with the body that you need to follow God and you're growing. And if you're one of those poor souls who's going to just, well, all of it, okay, but if you're a hard one, I call it at all times, pray and ask the Lord. Every little bit of
flowers for the temple. But it may also be that not only is your own the Holy Spirit, you can find a figure on when the end of the later will be that you don't put a figure on one that you were intentionally not to be. Because you don't care for the other one. You come to keep seeing everybody else before you. Or you come and you wait for everybody else to be you first. The Holy Spirit is saying that. That's right. You need one. You need one. So, you have a chance. What is your point? What is the point of the scripture? Is it here? How will I do this? How will I do this? How will I do this? Will I do this well? Will I do this well?
Not to see this material as necessarily as do better material, but may we, as those resting in Christ, wish to bring the most glory to Christ by living well together. May we look at these lists and desire to carry them out, not so we are spoken well of, primarily, but so that Christ is spoken well of. May we look at these lists and may we seek to be these things one with another. Father, not so that it's good for me, but it is good for the whole. Father, this is difficult for us because we have grown up with a story of being grown up in a culture where we only think in terms of personal benefit. We have grown up in a culture that has idolized independence and where scriptures continue to hammer away at the root of that as we are called to deepen and interdependence with one another. Dependence upon you and interdependence with one another. Father, may grab our hearts that we begin to ask the question, how will we live for the good of the whole? Maybe we do it as you continue to mold us, shape us, fitting us as the perfect potter that we are, as you continue to shape us and mold us.